Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
We have a special guest joining us here in just a moment. Just want to say that in the last hour, we were talking about the immigration fiasco at our southern border, where we have we had 15,000 or 17,000 Haitians gathered at one point, 12,000 already landed in the U.S. I was talking to you about the backlog in immigration cases. Just saw flashing on the screen at Fox. I had said it was 700,000 or 800,000 a few years ago when I was following the border issue very closely then. I knew it was probably over a million now. 1.4 million backlog immigration cases right now. So the people that are being let into the country, it's going to take years.
How long do you think that will actually take?
I mean, it'll be there forever. The average right now, Clay, the average right now is almost 3 years before the, so somebody will be in the country for almost 3 years before they even have to appear before a judge to make their bogus asylum claim. And even then they will not be removed. The removal rate, Clay, 3%. You have a 97% chance of staying in the U.S. once you get into the U.S. after pretending to be an asylum seeker. So we will address this issue more later on in the show, third hour for sure. Also more COVID stuff coming up. But we've got Jake Beckett with us now. He's a former NFL player, an Army Ranger deployed overseas in the war zones, and now an Arkansas Senate candidate. Jake, thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
So you're not far from the border in your home state of Arkansas, Jake. You heard us just talking about this. What do you make of what we've just seen going on with this massive surge of Haitian migrants at the Del Rio, but also just the border overall? Seems like it's wide open.
Well, I would even go further. I would say that we have no southern border right now. It's clear the Biden administration has no intention of securing our national sovereignty, enforcing our federal immigration laws. And look, if we have no border, we have no sovereignty. We don't have a country. This is a marquee issue for me in my race for U.S. Senate here in Arkansas. Illegal immigration is something that is offensive to the entire state of Arkansas and to conservatives across the country, and it has to stop. For generations, for decades, establishment politicians in both parties, I want to be clear, both Republicans and Democrats, have exchanged promises of border security for amnesty. Okay. Party leaders in both major parties have made that deal for decades. It's time for it to stop. We're living with the consequences. We have to send people to Washington who understand this problem, who understand the nature of the fight that we're in, and who are actually going to build the wall, finish the wall, and secure our borders. It's unacceptable.
Jake, what do you think about Dr. Fauci? I know you're a big Arkansas Razorback fan. I may get you an Arkansas Razorback question in here. You can gloat a little bit over the big wins over Texas and Texas A&M. But Fauci came out and said, hey, there's going to be major issues, essentially, from college football having full stadiums. Since college football season started, the overall rate of infection all over the South, all over the SEC, has plummeted. When do people stop listening to Dr. Fauci? I mean, we're at, you know, 17, 18 months, whatever the heck it is now, and he's still so wrong about so much. What are you hearing from the people in Arkansas about things like this?
Well, first of all, you're right. I am a huge fan of the number 8 Arkansas Razorbacks. I want to be clear. We're taking on Georgia this weekend. College game day is going to be there. You know, hopefully me and Herschel Walker can have a little back and forth about that, about who's going to win. But you're exactly right. Dr. Fauci has no credibility. I have no idea why any reasonable American would listen to that man. He's been wrong on every front. And particularly, I was talking to Buck about this last week. I mean, we're seeing these packed college football stadiums. It's so great for me to see. I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas 2 weeks ago for the Arkansas-Texas game. There were 75,000 screaming fans in that stadium. Of course, Fauci was predicting these would be super spreader events and it would be another COVID nightmare. But of course, we've actually seen cases go down in these major SEC football states, not up. So they're not super spreader events, but we have to find a way to live with the virus. The only way through it is through it. And people should not listen to Dr. Fauci for one more single second.
We're speaking to Jake Beckett, former NFL player, Army Ranger, and he is a candidate for Senate in the great state of Arkansas. Jake, drawing on your time as an Army Ranger serving this country overseas and going to war wearing the uniform, we still have reports that there are certainly those who assisted the U.S. military and were promised that they would get out, Afghans that are left behind in Afghanistan. There are also reports that I hear that there are still some Americans, U.S. citizens, passport holders who are stuck in Afghanistan. What is your assessment as of today of the Biden administration's last days in Afghanistan, in a sense, and what do you think we should do going forward?
Well, the Biden administration's handling of the Afghanistan debacle is a national disgrace. It's an embarrassment, and you're exactly right. There are still American citizens who are stranded behind enemy lines at the hands of the Taliban, a bloodthirsty medieval regime. It's an absolute embarrassment. And I want to be clear, we've brought in tens of thousands, perhaps even over 100,000 unvetted Afghan migrants while we left behind American citizens. And I'm sure you've seen the reports. There have already been three cases that I've seen documented, one that's currently under investigation by the FBI, of some of these Afghan migrants at our military bases committing acts of sexual assault and rape, including one that's under investigation of an American female service member. That is a stain on this country. That just infuriates me that we brought in unvetted Afghan migrants, who some of them are child predators, and we left American citizens behind. And that's to say nothing of the tactical and strategic blundering that was done by this administration that resulted in the death of 13 brave American servicemen. It's an absolute disgrace.
Jake, you have a really interesting background. You played college football. As we just talked about, you've served in the military, and you also played in the NFL. And obviously, sports and politics in many ways has become intermingled. You talked about the fact that Herschel Walker is running for the Senate in Georgia. We certainly hope he wins there. You're running in the state of Arkansas. What's the locker room dynamic like in your experience as it pertains to politics? Does it stun you? I know you were with the Patriots for several years, that the NFL got as political as it has. And even we were talking in the last hour about the playing of the Black National Anthem before the games. What are you hearing from your former teammates and other people affiliated with the NFL about that mix of politics and left-wing sports?
Well, it's very upsetting because that was not the sports environment that I grew up in and I played in. I've always said that sports has been so popular. It's such a strong part of our national identity and culture because sports at its best represents the best of America. I mean, people from diverse backgrounds, from different races, different classes, whatever, come together. They strive towards a common goal and they, you know, the currency of a sports locker room, it's not where you came from, it's not how much money you have, it's performance. Okay, that's all that matters. And so I think that's one of the reasons why Americans love sports, is it represents the best of us. And unfortunately, the Democrats and the radical left, they have to tear that down, just like they've conquered every other American institution. They saw sports and the military as well. They saw those as kind of the two final frontiers of American cultural institutions that just had to be changed. And tragically, it looks like they're succeeding, but look, I'm optimistic. I think we're fighting back. I'm seeing these packed college stadiums in particular as an act of defiance against this COVID tyranny. And
amen.
I'm excited to see candidates like Herschel Walker running in Georgia. I think they're excited to see conservatives come from non-political backgrounds, come from sports backgrounds, military backgrounds, people who didn't grow up in an age-old expectation of running for political office. Because look, we can't solve this problem unless we have people who come into this for the right reasons, who aren't looking to get their name in the paper, who aren't looking to make money off of this, who aren't looking to make politics a career. It's got to be true public service, sacrificial leadership. That's why I'm in it. That's why Herschel's in it. And that's why you're seeing a lot of strong, young, bold conservative candidates all over the country.
We're speaking to Jake Beckett, former NFL player and former Army Ranger, who's running for Senate in Arkansas. And Jake, just one last one for you. President Biden just got his booster live on TV as we were sitting here talking. It was on the screens here in NYC. A lot of people, I would certainly put myself in this category, are surprised at how long the American people overall have been willing to go along with so much of what just feels like either COVID theatrics or COVID tyranny, a combination of the two. How do we get our freedom back?
We get our freedom back by standing up for what's right, for just simply saying enough is enough. I think you're seeing Americans rise up in pockets of red areas across the country, but it has to be a critical mass, right? Because I think we're all seeing the images coming out of places like Australia. And don't think for one second that the Democrats and the radical left don't want to bring that to our shores. That is their ultimate goal. We can never, ever let that happen here. Well, it's one of the reasons why I'm running for U.S. Senate. Y'all can go to my website, jakebeckett.com. Look, it's just we have to stand up and fight back because this is totally unacceptable, and it's not going to stop until we say it stops.
Jake, I got to say, I trust your opinion on this before we let you go. Clay is taking me to my first ever SEC football game this weekend. Ole Miss, University of Alabama. Who wins, Jake? You're a football guy.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Arkansas Razorbacks are going to win. That's the only game I care about.
Look at that. Look at that deft play. I think that's a, what do you call that move on the football field, Clay? Is a spin? It was good, though. I like it.
Swim move for a defensive end to get to the game he wants.
This is life in the SEC, right, where number one Bama versus number 12 Ole Miss isn't even the game of the week. All right, this is why I love that SEC football. You've got the best teams in the entire country. Look, I think Bama's going to pull it off at home there, but I'm looking to have my Arkansas Razorbacks shock the world in Athens on Saturday.
There we go. Jake Beckett, everybody. Check out his site. Run for Senate, former Army Ranger. Jake, really appreciate it, man. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. See you. Bye.
You know, big tech is as powerful as ever, and they profit by exploiting your personal data, which we're all giving to them freely, right? But you can protect yourself by putting a layer of protection between your online activity and these big tech companies. It's one reason Clay and I both use ExpressVPN. We run it on our apps, on our devices, our laptops. When you have ExpressVPN going on your device, the software hides your IP address, something big tech can use to personally identify you. It makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. And Clay, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your internet data.
No doubt. It's rated the number one VPN service by both CNET and TechRadar. It's so easy to use. You can download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and boom, you're protected. Visit expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. That's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck to get 3 extra months free. That is, one more time, expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. Sign up right now and learn more. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Thanks to Jake Beckett, who is running in the Arkansas Republican primary there for the Senate. Be interesting to see what happens there. Also interesting, Buck, on Friday we spent some time talking about the ladies of The View. Two of them testing positive for COVID. They very memorably got their positive COVID test in the middle of the show. They had a producer walk out, remove them from the set. They also were interviewing Kamala Harris. And of course, Kamala came out and criticized the U.S. border security for using whips. Obviously, did not occur, but she and Joe Biden have both been passing that along. And now, just in the last, what, hour or so, they have found out that the positive COVID tests they got are actually of a negative nature. They didn't actually have COVID. So here's a big question for you, Buck, and I think it's a good one. Why are we still really testing for COVID? And let me give you an example here. I have never tested positive for COVID. I've been tested many times, probably 7, 8, 9, 10 times. I know I had COVID. I have COVID antibodies. I suspect that I had COVID when I had a small fever, but I may have had it as far back as at the Super Bowl because I came back and I was actually sick for a few days then, and we now know COVID was circulating
in
my
head. You had antibodies, right? You're not like one of these people that's like, I had a sniffle, COVID, right?
No, I had COVID. But the reason why I have antibodies, I know. But I never went and got a positive test because I was like, well, if I start feeling bad and I need to be treated, but in my entire life, I've never had a positive test for the flu, for instance. I've certainly had the flu. And when I feel crappy, I stay home. Fortunately, I've had pretty good health over the last 20 some odd years, but I don't remember for any other illness going and having a test to see whether or not I had it. Now, when I was a kid, strep throat tests, okay. But I've had the flu, you know, a bunch of times, like most people out there have. I've never gotten a positive test for it. The reason why I'm asking this is, since we know so many COVID symptoms are asymptomatic, how many people are like The View They have a positive COVID test. They never have it, and they are isolating themselves in their homes for however long, and it's completely unnecessary.
You know, there's also a lot of information we just should have and don't about, I mean, how much of a spreader are you if you're asymptomatic? How long are you? Remember, we used to have these, they would say, oh, for about 7 days. Oh, then it's 10 days. And then it was 2 weeks. And then it was 10 yeah. days again. They used to try to tell us.
I don't even know
what
the number is now, how long you're supposed to quarantine when you test positive.
I think you're supposed to quarantine for 10 days.
Is that the number now?
It might be a week.
Around, assume, like you said.
But this is what I mean, right? I mean, I don't worry about it because I already had COVID. So, got that natural immunity up here in the Clay and Buck show. But I think that having these kinds of tests and having this testing going on continuously is of limited utility. You'll notice that they've actually started to talk again. By the way, there are pop-up sites now all over my neighborhood. I mean, if you walk around Midtown Manhattan, which is where I live and work.
To get tested for COVID? You can just go in?
Pop-up sites for testing all over the place. They are preparing as though we're going into a winter. I'm just going to say this. They are making preparations as though we are going into a winter where we do not have 65% of the population vaccinated and therefore at very little risk of hospitalization and death, as well as 150 million, give or take, 20 or 50 million, who knows, who have had COVID, right?
Right.
We should be feeling much, much better about this in so many ways, but all you have to do is see the way they're setting up all these testing sites and just the bureaucracy around this. I mean, Clay, there are universities where you have to test every week, even if you are vaccinated, just as a matter of course, they're making people do this. I know at Duke they're doing it. There's some other schools that are doing it too.
We were making fun of Stanford because they have 100% vaccination rate on campus, and then they're still requiring you, if you are in the campus gym, to be wearing a mask while you play basketball or run on a treadmill. And so everything that you were sold and that we were sold by the Biden administration, hey, get your vaccine. You'll never have to worry about testing positive. You'll never have to worry about going to the hospital. You'll never have to worry about dying with COVID. That's not true. Such that Joe Biden just right now, live on television, Buck, we talked about on Friday that he would get it soon. Well, he went ahead and got it. He got his COVID booster shot as a 78-year-old, I believe. He went ahead and got that done. And the question that's hanging out there, and I think it's a good one, is how many more booster shots are you going to have to get?
This is going to be years. People are going to do this for years now. There are going to be those who just accept that they're going to get their COVID shot. And by the way, I think it could be every 6 months, not even every year. This is what they're just going to try to top off my immunity as if.
And by the way, at some point that starts to decline in effectiveness.
Yeah, of
the
course.
More
and also at some point, these are your immune systems, folks. You know, we shouldn't be just rolling the dice on some of this stuff with, our sixth or seventh shot. But Clay, what do you got?
I want everybody out there to live without pain. It makes a big difference. You know, one in three people wakes up with pain. Well, our friends at Relief Factor have developed a three-week quick start pack that can make you feel better. You just take it at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you or not. Hundreds of thousands of people have tried it. 70% go on to order more. Those are great odds. 7 out of 10 of you feel better after taking Relief Factor. My wife, Buck's dad, everybody out there in our audience, 15 years of scientific research, you can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com, call 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, 3-week quick start developed specifically for you. Go to relieffactor.com. You can call 800-4-RELIEF, Relief Factor. Feel the difference. 800-4-RELIEF.
And I love you too. You're incredible people. You're incredible.
He's out there, folks. He's still fighting. Hasn't decided to give it up. Not even a little bit. In fact, the more I talk to people, and welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck. The more I talk to people from President Trump's orbit, the more I'm hearing he's running. It's just a question of who the team is going to be around him, who the vice president would be. But I'm hearing that it's, I've had people tell me it's 100% in their minds at this point. Now, it's obviously not 100% until he declares, which is not going to happen, as we've talked about so many times before, until after the midterms, one would think. But there was an electricity at the Georgia National Fairgrounds over the weekend as President Trump was rallying for a bunch of candidates who are running for office in 2022. But Trump is just back out there doing what he does. And one thing, especially given there's a lot of focus right now on whether anybody could even is allowed to talk about the Arizona audit, the Arizona ballot audit. And you'll have a lot of people say you can't talk about it, even on some conservative networks, even on some platforms that you would think would be more open to conservative points of view, Republican points of view, pro-Trump points of view. And Trump was reminding everybody over the weekend about how the people that claim the right, whether it's on social media or just in general in our society, to determine the boundaries of acceptable political conversation were the same ones who lied about Russia and also are pushing January 6th as an insurrection.
That's what's going on with Russia. They made up a hoax, and we had to live with it for 3 years. What kind of a sick, perverted mind does that? And it was the lawyer and Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, they made it up. It was a hoax. And now they're doing it again with the January 6th. Okay, they're doing it again. They're doing it again. We went through 3 years of hell battling this fake charge that was only allowed to happen because the media was complicit, as they always are for the Democrats.
They always are, Clay. That's for sure.
I got a question for you, Buck. Two questions. One, and I agree, everybody that I am talking to says Trump's going to run too. So at this point, I think it would be a big upset if he decided not to run in 2024. Who do we think is his best possible vice presidential candidate? Because it's not going to be Pence. And then maybe we can talk about that when we come back for the next segment. Let's tease that. We'll pause it. But I want to ask you this question. Has it actually worked to Trump's favor that he is banned by all these big tech platforms? And let me explain my thesis, and you tell me if I'm a mad genius or just crazy. Everybody already has an opinion about Donald Trump, pro or con, every single person in the entire United States. I believe, and I know there's people who disagree, that one of the reasons why Trump antagonized people in the middle of the country that, and by middle of the country, I don't necessarily mean middle part of the country, although that certainly factors in, but people in the middle of the political spectrum, was they just got tired of the incessant drumbeat of his Twitter. And the reality is, most media are lazy and not particularly smart, but Donald Trump's tweets gave them easy stories to talk about and write about without having to do work. When he's doing these rallies, you got to sit and watch him talk for 2 hours to have a storyline associated with it. So, if everybody already has an opinion about Trump, is he actually getting more favorable treatment because it's not a daily drumbeat of tweets? Instead, it's the overall end result of Trump, which was right, right? A lot of people liked where Trump got. They didn't necessarily like the bull in a China shop day-to-day
existence of the Trump administration. But they had some trepidation about
it. So could he actually be helped by not having daily thoughts on Twitter, hourly thoughts on Twitter in some way? Is this a crazy idea, or do you buy into it?
It's interesting. I would say a couple.
Because it makes him a martyr, too.
Well, see, this is where I wanted to go. The overall narrative. So this is what I think you're opening up, and I would agree on this point, because I actually think that the Trump tweets were also, you know, we kind of think of it all as good or bad. There were days where those Trump tweets were incredible, and the fact that he was able to take his message directly to the people and not have to go through, say, you know, a Lester Holt interview or a fake Tapper interview.
And I think that was massive in 16, but now everybody's kind of got an opinion of Trump already.
So here's what I'd say. I mean, this whole notion of Trump being kicked off of social media, and there are some conservative platforms now that are essentially conservative mirror images of Twitter that are out there that are gaining some traction. I'm on some. But it proves the system is rigged. I mean, that's
yes.
By Trump being banned from Facebook and Twitter, when these are the most powerful media platforms in the country, it
proves
shows
his point.
Beyond doubt, the system is rigged, full stop. Okay. And they do it in the open now. They don't play any games, or I should say, they can't play the same kind of games they used to about how it was an accident when we banned conservatives. And it's also a reminder of how people saw Trump in the early days when he started that, what felt like so improbable campaign to end up winning the presidency in 2016. And it was that he was considered a blunt force instrument against the apparatus of
yes.
elite control. And especially given what we are seeing right now, the country we are living in, and what the possibilities are of its of this continuing and even getting worse. I mean,
yes.
Australia, we think of it as the UK with better weather and nicer people. Australia is now East Germany with koalas. They have completely lost their minds, right? Like
yeah.
they're on another planet.
They're tackling random moms and dads who are just out walking in the streets doing nothing at all wrong.
Yes. If you are not wearing a mask
them.
And you're out where you're not supposed to be in broad daylight, they will have police officers wrestle you, face plant you into the cement, and take you in handcuffs in front of your own child.
Australia is where America would be if we didn't have federalism.
That's right.
And Republican
if we
governors.
Didn't have Ron DeSantis and a few other Republican governors who were able to hold the line against the complete madness, we would be in a similar situation. Because the Fauciites see it, and you notice they never do you ever see people on the
no.
left who are like, you should mask, you should vax. Whoa, Australia, a little crazy. They don't criticize it. They don't have a problem with it. But Trump, again, Trump was our sledgehammer against people like Fauci, who pretend they have all these credentials and they're so smart and they do such a good job. But then they actually stink at their jobs and they're little petty tyrants. And they have bad outcomes, and then they try to blame us because we didn't mask up enough or whatever. So that's one of the reasons why I think Trump is particularly interesting. We talked about the social media thing. I just want to throw this in there, too. Trump realizes that the social media battle is central to the political future of this country. So he started, there was a lock him up chant targeting Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. It was, I've never heard this before. This was a first time to hear anything like this one.
Officials also took $45 million from Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg to fund election-related activities. Well, they should be looking at that. What is that all about?
The sledgehammer, Clay. I want the Trump hammer, the sledgehammer back.
And the other thing I should add in here, Biden and Trump are statistically tied in favorability right now. It's pretty crazy, right? Because Biden ran his entire campaign on normalcy, on not creating a stir. And I wonder whether this is having a reverse impact. Just kind of put it in the back of your mind and think about it. It's still early. Is there a reverse impact? You got to be careful sometimes when you make decisions, because when Facebook banned Trump and when Twitter banned Trump, I wonder whether it made him a martyr and it also ended up helping him going forward. Just put it in the back of your minds and think about it. When we come back, we'll talk about that idea. If Trump's going to run, who would be the VP?
And we have an update that I meant to get to, but we got so deep into Trumpology that I didn't talk about it. I want to. The January 6th insurrection, there was an FBI informant present and speaking to the FBI in real time about the whole thing. That in of itself, some people say, okay, well, I can almost guarantee you folks he wasn't the only one. And I can also tell you there's going to be more stories about just how much the government knew in advance of January 6th and how many government informants, people who were acting as agents of the government, were present at that riot. I think
maybe instigating it.
I mean, not making it better. That's for not telling yeah. people to put down the brick, so to speak.
I mean, I
so.
Think from a defense attorney perspective, what I read, and we'll talk about this, was potentially massive in terms of being able to defend your clients.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about it. My best discovery in the past month, the gear I'm now wearing from Tommy John. I mean, right now, I'm actually in a maroon t-shirt. Clay can see it. From Tommy John, and it's the most comfortable. These are the most comfortable t-shirts I've ever owned. I do the show pretty much every day now in Tommy John t-shirts and sweatshirts. They are the most luxurious, comfortable, but easy to wear, easy to clean. I'm telling you, you're going to love them. I'm wearing it like every day. This brand, Tommy John Clay, this company, I love their gear. It also, though, started with the introduction of the world's most comfortable underwear.
It is, I mean, Buck, the world's most comfortable underwear. When you start off your day wearing the world's most comfortable underwear, everything feels better. They are breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric, four times the stretch of competing brands. That's why they don't have customers. They have fanatics who have bought 16 million pairs of their gear. We're Tommy John fanatics, too. Soft, supportive, stretchy. This fall, upgrade what's underneath with new Tommy John underwear. Lots of women out there. Does your man wear old underwear? It's not a good look. Not a good look. Why not go get him actually great underwear? 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck. That's TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck. 20% off. It's time, men, to take care of yourselves with some new underwear. And if they won't do it, women, go buy it for them. Trust me, they'll like it. TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck. See site for details. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are going to be joined by Dr. Herbie Risch, by the way, here in a little bit. He is a big-time immunologist expert on COVID, and we're excited to talk to him at the top of the next hour. In the meantime, Buck, we got the insurrection talk rising up. We have the FBI with a bunch of different informants, and I asked this question, and it's going to be debated a ton. If Trump is going to run, and both of us believe that he is, in fact, going to run, the VP choice that he makes will matter in a massive way, because if Trump were to win in 2024, he's only got one term he can serve. We've not really seen a situation like this where you would have a one-term president re-winning election in any of our lives. And so who he selects as VP would be massive on a scale of a vice presidential election that, frankly, we really haven't seen. Now, you could argue Biden's selection, because there still is the expectation that he's not going to run again at the age of 82. But Trump would have a massive number of people who would love to be aligned with him. I just think this decision would tell us a lot about his thinking in general. And it's kind of a massive wild card, right?
I think it'll evolve between now and when he makes it. I'm sure there's a short list. From what I understand from people that are in close contact with the president, you know, the names that come to mind are the names that everybody would think of. Obviously, DeSantis, Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Kristi Noem. Who am I leaving?
Tim Scott.
Scott, yeah.
I just think it's such an interesting question, because there's different angles that everybody could bring to bear there.
I think so. I also think it's an interesting question to see how many people were in the either employee or acting as agents of the federal government who were present. Because, Clay, I want you to do a little lawyering here for us.
Yeah.
Here's what we know. Among those who marched into the Capitol on January 6th was an FBI informant. This is not from, you know, rightwingcrazy.com. This is the New York Times. So leftwingcrazy.com, actually.
Yes.
A member of the far-right Proud Boys texted his FBI handler during the assault, but maintained the group had no plan in advance to enter the Capitol and disrupt the election certification. Here's just a little bit of this. As scores of Proud Boys made their way chanting and shouting toward the Capitol on January 6th, one member of the far-right group was busy texting a real-time account of the march. The recipient was his FBI handler. In the informant's version of events, the Proud Boys were largely following a pro-Trump mob consumed by a herd mentality rather than carrying out any type of pre-planned attack. Gee, it sounds like people got carried away in a big crowd and engaged in a riot, not an insurrection to overthrow the United States government. Gee, that's kind of what it sounds like to me, Clay.
Yeah, and again, I would say that the number one story to me about the riot on January 6th is, one, how much different this has been treated than months of Black Lives Matter riots, which were mostly peaceful protests, as we've long been told. But a failure of security, right? Because it wasn't as if the people who ended up in the Capitol, we've seen the videos that came out, by the way, last week and got very limited attention, mostly showing people walking around taking selfies inside like tourists, as opposed to people who were trying to overthrow the government.
If you made a video of people like walking around your standard art museum. It would, I'm yes, being, it would have looked like. I'm not saying the whole thing, yes. But that video that was released, people kind of milling about, you know, sort of taking a selfie, standing around, looking around. Not exactly an insurrection.
Right. And many of these entrances were not even overrun. It was like the police just said, okay, we're not even going to fight over this.
In.
And stepped out of the way. And so the doors are open. There's a big mass of people that are going in. And you go in and you take a picture. I bet a lot of those people had never been in the United States Capitol before. Now, did some people take the step beyond that and deserve to be charged with crimes? Yes, in the same way that so many people deserve to be charged with crimes in the Black Lives Matter protests that occurred for months all over this country. And by the way, Buck, officially the news has come out. We talked about this, I believe, on Thursday or Friday, what the FBI data was going to say for 2020. Well, now it's officially official. And we had the largest increase in murders in the history of the country since 1960.
And it's so important that everyone remember, it's not really the increase in murders in the year 2020. It's the increase in murders starting in June for 6 months.
Because they're going to try to blame COVID.
They're going to say that somehow COVID is the reason for this. Or
which actually would
Trump's
work against it because we were under the rate of murder because we were so many cities were locked down in March, April, and May. Until the George Floyd protests started, there was no massive increase in murder at all.
It's very straightforward. When one political party, which is the Democrat Party in this country, embraces a narrative of both lawlessness and victimology at the hands of cops, very bad things happen and disproportionately happen in high crime, majority, minority neighborhoods in major cities. That is the reality. They can try to say other things as much as they want.
Thousands of mostly young black residents of inner cities are dead now. Thousands that would not have been dead otherwise, probably.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.